Tonight I'm preaching on you through the ministry gifts of the Spirit. I love the gifts of the Spirit. I praise God for them. Christmas, as people say, is about the sun. But really, our assistant bishop the other night in our Christmas party, my first Christmas party of the year last Friday night, right here at this church, by the way, our church, by the way, he spoke about the story where Simeon was led by the Spirit. And how that the Christmas story is about the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. And in fact, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we know that God works through His Spirit. And we've been talking about the gateway, going through the gateway. We've been talking about that God's got a... when you have something from the Lord, it's not like I got a goal. Oh, man, I got this. I got salvation. I got sanctification. I got the Holy Spirit. I got speaking in tongues, and that's it. Yay. And didn't sit down. No. Everything God gives us is a gateway to even more things and even greater things. And that's what we want here at Westmoreland. We don't want just to be saved on our way to heaven. We want to be saved on our way to heaven and take a few with us and get all we can get of heaven on earth. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, do on earth as it is in heaven. And I want His Spirit to flow, and I want His life to flow, and I want this church and our church to be full of the Holy Spirit as we go into the year 2020. Would you give Him a hand of praise here tonight, and let's make a difference. And let's make a difference. Brother Blue, if you can give me just a little more monitor, if you're able to, that would help me out tremendously tonight. And I want you to look at the list tonight, the manifestation gifts that Pastor has been talking about. Those are the word. I would like to go through these every time. Now, the manifestation gifts, the word of wisdom. You got it up there? The word of knowledge, faith, the manifestation gifts, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Say the word manifestation. That's something that can happen at any moment. Like flash of lightning, boom, there's a manifestation of tongues. And then the interpretation that follows it, A and B. Manifestation of healing, boom, you're there. And all of a sudden, God does a healing. Manifestation of the gift of faith, to believe, prophecy. Now, go over to the ministry gifts. Somebody say ministry. See that middle word, ministry. I want you to think of the manifestation gifts as resident. In other words, as revolving. In other words, something that revolves, comes and goes. But I want you to think of the ministry gifts as resident, something that's permanent. You are called to one of these ministry gifts, probably. More than likely, everyone in here is called to one of these offices. Prophecy, which is the top one, which we call, or I've called preaching, serving. There is the ministry resident gift of serving. There are people who are called to serve. There's people who are called to teach, called to encourage, called to give, called to lead, called to mercy. Now, please understand, and don't get it confused, all of us can have a touch of this. In fact, all of us should be servants. Say amen. All of us can teach somebody something. Doesn't mean I got to be called to teach, to teach a little kid how to tie a knot. Everybody should be encouragers. Everybody should be givers. So don't think just because you're not called to give, oh, I don't have to give. No. We all should do these things. But what I'm talking about is the office of those gifts. You are divinely called to one of these ministry gifts. So I want you to stand with me tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, as we talk about the ministry of, or the calling to leadership. The calling to leadership. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you're there, say amen. See if your neighbor's got it. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Notice right there, we've got members, but you may have an office that I don't have, or you may have a calling that I don't have. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. In other words, we belong to one another. Having then gifts differing, so we can have Pastor Jerry has a different gift than maybe Sister Clara does, for example. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether preaching, let us preach, or prophecy. Preaching is not only foretelling, but it's forthtelling. That's a sermon for another. If you want to go back and see this YouTube video, it's up there. Also, verse 7, our ministry. Let us wait upon our ministry. And that word ministry is serving. On he that teacheth, on teaching, on he that encourages, on he that giveth, let him do it with liberality. Simplicity is what it says here. On he that ruleth. That word ruleth means leadership. Do it with what? Diligence. He that showeth mercy, do it with cheerfulness. So I'm gonna preach next time on the gift, the body ministry gift of mercy. But Father, tonight, thank you for leadership. Thank you, God, for the calling to leadership. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of leadership, the development of leaders. We'll give you the praise. Lord, manifest your gifts. And Lord, call us and make our calling real in these ministry gifts. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly favored of God. So this is part two, which means that we had a part one. My part one was back before Thanksgiving. Nobody remembers it. So I'm just going to go back and go over what I did the last time. In fact, I didn't remember it. I had to rehearse it again. But we're talking about the gift or the calling to leadership. Now, I want to talk about the calling to lead generally. That's what I covered last time. And the calling to lead specifically. The body ministry gift, and then the calling to lead structurally, how to be the best God-called leader that you can be. So I'm not going to re-preach the last message, but I'm going to go back through those points, bring us up to where we are, because there's some new people here tonight. So point number one, the calling to lead generally. Generally speaking, as with these other gifts, serving, giving, encouraging, we all have a responsibility to lead. We all have a general calling to give. In other words, just because you're not called to be a giver in the body doesn't mean you're not supposed to be a giver, generally speaking. And so, really, the truth of the matter is every one of us in here are a leader and can be a leader and is a leader in some form or another. You might not be a very good leader, but you're a leader nonetheless. And what do you mean by that? Because leadership, according to John Maxwell, and I wore a sweater tonight just in honor of John Maxwell, but he loves sweaters, so I thought I'd wear my sweater tonight. And according to John Maxwell, leadership is influence. Say that with me. Leadership is influence. When you stay at home from church and you sleep in and you have children, you're leading those children. Well, I'm not leading them to church. You're leading them not to go to church, which is a negative form of leader. You have leadership. When you take out a cigarette and you begin to draw on it, even though I love smokers, amen, you're leading people. You're letting people know that that cigarette is something to you. And you know and I know that anytime you smoke cigarettes, and listen, I'm not trying to be negative, because obesity and gluttony and all of that is anything we do that harms our body. Is something that we need to pray through about. Amen. I'm working on mine. Praise God. I don't want to hear it after church tonight. And I've put up a bunch of Cracker Barrel biscuits. And I want you to know that I'm trying to lead better in my health, because I want to live a long, long time. Amen. I believe that life is a choice. And what we put on our forks makes a difference. But let me get back to the cigarettes real quick. All right. Anytime you smoke cigarettes, you're harming your body and you're hurting your influence. So when you're smoking, you're leading people. You're saying, don't, if you're not telling people to do what I do, then why are you doing it then? Anytime you're an advertiser, you're like the Marlboro man. The Marlboro man, who rugged guy with blue jeans and a hat and a cigarette, and he died of lung cancer on a ventilator. So this is not to pick on people eating biscuits or people smoking cigarettes. You know, God loves you. But whatever we do is leadership. If we come dragging in 10 minutes late every time the church, listen, if we drag in 10 minutes late every time the church door opens, we're leading people. Now, I'm going to get you before this service is over with. Now, I'm going to preach right. I'm going to go ahead. We're going to end the year right and start one early. Amen. Oh, now listen, if you, I'm going to talk about punctuality a little bit later, but you're leading people. If you take a nap, now listen, let me preach this. Now, if you take, I know y'all want to talk, but let me talk right now. But when you're sitting in church and you're dozing off and you're snoring, you're leading people. Amen. Come on. So when we pray for people, we're leading people. When the pastor says, come to the altar. Ooh, preacher, don't you love me tonight? I'm just doing all the good stuff. When he says, come to the altar, everybody come to the altar. And about five of you just hit that back door. You know, you're leading people. Come on now. Amen. Does that mean you're going to go to hell? No. Does it mean you're a bad person? No. It means you're leading people. If our pastor says, come to the altar, come on to the altar and lead people and say, come on and let the Lord bless you. And I didn't get any amens out of that. Neither did Pastor Jerry. But we're going to keep doing it regardless. Amen. You know why? Because we're the leaders here. Amen. He's the leader, and I'm one of the leaders. But praise God, leadership will make a break. We need revival. We need to batten down the hatches, cross the T's, dot the I's. We need to get in rank. We need to salute. We need to say, yes, Lord, and let's have a lean, mean, mighty, fighting machine, and let's have some leadership in this church and in our church, and let's storm the gates of hell, and it shall not prevail. And if you want those ministry gifts to flow and those manifestation gifts to flow, then it'll happen when we all rise to our leadership. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. I didn't say God didn't love you if you were 10 minutes late or if you took a nap during the church. I didn't say God didn't love you. I'm just saying, Let's think about our leadership. We all have a calling to lead. We all have responsibility. People are watching us. Our life is an influence. Can you say amen? Now, what about the calling to lead specifically? Now, if you're an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, if you're called to giving, if you're called to preaching, if you're called to encouraging, every part of that has leadership involved in it. But according to the scriptures, there are some people who are God-called leaders. They're not prophets, but prophets are leaders. They're not preachers, but preachers are leaders. They are leaders. They're called to lead. There is a specific calling. It's called administration. Could be government. Could be a person that rules in the sense of a good sense. The word rules or leads. Has the basic meaning of standing before others. It's the idea of leadership. In the New Testament, it's used of headship in the family. This same word, when it talks about headship in the family, the father, the mother, the children, there's a divine order. Father is the head of the home. Mother is the supporter of the home. The children are those who are being raised to eventually have a godly home. And so there's order. And by the way, when there's order in the home, brother, that's the basic of order in the nation and order in the church. In fact, you can't really be a church leader until you're a home leader. In fact, if your home is out of whack and out of order, then it hurts leadership in the church. And by the way, I say all that because nobody's perfect, and no church is perfect, and no preacher is perfect, and no family is perfect. So, but the pattern should be there. Amen. The pattern of leadership should be there. Children are to obey their parents. Parents are to lead and love their children. Husbands and wives are to serve one another. The husband is to be the spiritual leader and to be the spiritual instigator and to be the spiritual shepherd to ensure that his wife and his children are walking in the Lord and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Say, I'm the pastor of my home. And dads, you're the pastor of your home. And granddads, you're the pastor of your extended family. Amen. You're a shepherd over your family. And so leadership has to deal with the home, has to deal with the church. It's also used of a pilot or helmsman that steers or leads a ship. So the calling to leadership is like the pilot or a helmsman. The gift of church leader clearly belongs to elders, deacons, and deaconesses, pastors, and apostles, and prophets, and evangelists. It is significant that Paul makes no mention of leaders I was thinking about this in the book of Timothy. He talks about the elders. In the book of Titus, he talks about the elders. In the book of Thessalonians and different ones. But if you'll notice in the book of Corinthians, he never addresses the elders of the church. And that's probably why they were such out of order in that church. Well, the gifts were not flowing properly. Why there was people having disputes and stuff. Because I'll tell you, when there's God called leadership in a church, those leaders are to help to control, not to control, but to lead and guide the church. Somebody say amen here tonight. I see you looking at me. Amen. Free for all democracy, and I touched on this last time, is not a Bible thing. You know, you can have a vote like we had in the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. The majority vote said you could kill babies. This democracy is not always right. The majority voice is not always right. Sometimes it's that one prophet out of 400 that's really hearing from the Lord. And it's really not a matter of democracy. It's a matter of leadership and God working through leaders and through the body of Christ. But the calling to leadership is the ability, the God-given calling and ability to organize. Somebody say organize. And direct the activities of the church so that it will fulfill its mission. B.E. Underwood. The special ability that God gives to certain members of the body, the special calling that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to understand clearly the immediate and long range, I like this, the immediate and long range goals, I would say vision, or I would say plans of a particular unit of the body of Christ and to devise effective plans for the accomplishment of that goal. Jesus said, no man does not go out to war where he does not sit down first and count the cost. The church is on war in this world, and we've got to sit down and make plans, and we've got to sit down and make provisions, and we've got to look ahead and be forward thinking and say, where will we be a year from now? We've got to assess our membership. We've got to look at the ages of our membership. If we have all one age and we're missing this age, then we got to get all of this age to do something to reach that age. And if we got all of this age and we don't have all of that age, then something's not right with that either. We've got to have leadership. We've got to look and say, where are we and what do we need to do? And God uses God called, anointed, and appointed leaders and pastors and prophets and church people to do that for the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, the Old Testament had leaders, God called leaders. One of them was Satan himself. Whether you like it or not, Satan is one of the most effective leaders that has ever been created. Now, I didn't say he was a good, I didn't say he was a good person, and I didn't say what he was doing was right, but you've got to give it to him that he's an effective leader. He's got the music industry. I ran across a YouTube video. I don't know how I ran across it because I'm very careful on what I search on YouTube and what I search on the web. I'm very careful, and I don't want no junk coming before my eyes. And what was that lady's name? I want to say it was Taylor Swift. I heard a lot about Taylor Swift. I can't tell you the first song she's ever sung. But I saw something on YouTube that she was singing a Christmas song or something. And I clicked on it to watch her sing. And it was so lewd. And it was almost pornographic. And I thought, and I saw in the audience that people were just getting into it. And I thought, man, if I were a dad and my daughter were to see her dancing around with hardly no clothes on, I would say, honey, that is not what God wants for your life. But yet, Taylor Swift and these, and I have nothing personally against Taylor Swift, but I'm going to tell you what, we don't need to see lewd things like that. We don't need to see a woman in a bathing suit dancing around and going all around. It doesn't bring glory to God. It brings lust, and it brings sin, and it leads young ladies to do that. Listen, we got to live holy in this unrighteous and ungodly age. Come on now. And, you know, in church, you go to churches sometime, and you see young men with very short shorts on, and man, I'm just getting all into the mess tonight, ain't I? I'm telling you, and bulging biceps and nothing wrong with glorifying God in our health and our body. But I'm telling you, if you're wearing tight, tight jeans and you're wearing tight, tight T-shirts and you're wearing shorts and shirts, we need some leadership. We need to teach people once again. You know, the Holiness Church, we had dress standards in a generation. Brother, sister, there was dress standards. There were certain things you could wear, certain things you better not dare wear. And we took it to the extreme. And buddy, now we've gone the other way and where we desperately, once again, need to teach young women how to cover themselves up here. Cover themselves. Come on now, cover themselves and not turn, bend over and see things. And very short this and very tight that. My God, we need leadership once again. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm just talking about the world that we live in. We've got to have some leadership because the devil has got good leaders up there. Taylor Swift and Hollywood and movies. And what about those demons up there on that panel that voting in? Buddy, the devil's leading them all the way. And I said it. Yes, I did. Because Satan's in charge of one political party in particular. I mean, he's all in that one political party. I mean, he is the head of that party. Man, I'm going to get in trouble. And I didn't tell you what that party was. You figure that out. Don't say it. Buddy, that leader, let me tell you something. That one political party, when they were going to put in God We Trust, they're the ones that voted out of it. And they're the ones that on their convention floor, when the name of God was mentioned, all of them stood up, many of them stood up and booed. We got good Christians in that party. Good Christians should discern and lead and get out of anything like that. I'm telling you, friend, we got leaders. If you're part of a party, you're leading people to that party. And you're endorsing that party. And I don't think Republicans are that much better anyway. So don't think I'm just up here saying it's all about. And I just told you what the other one was. Shall we all have a word of prayer? Father, please help Pastor Ricky tonight. Amen. Satan is an effective leader. He's leading political parties. He's leading music. Is he leading you? No, he shouldn't. We should rebuke the devil. And how do we get out from under his leadership? By getting under godly leadership. And people that love the Lord and serve the Lord. And there's Joseph. Joseph was a great leader. He never prophesied. He never stood in a pulpit. But Joseph was a great leader. A God-called and anointed leader. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 6, there were people who were not being ministered to, and I'm not going to read this text. I did it last time. These were called the first deacons. Somebody say the word deacons. Now, the way it should be is there should be a pastor of every church and a church for every pastor. And in that church, there should be a board, deacon board. That deacon board in the last 25 years or so has gotten a bad rap. If you really go back and look at the history of it, it's because we changed pastors every 2 years. And deacons had to step in and do things. And then when a pastor come in, it got to the point where the deacons run the church. And the pastor just got a paycheck. And if he didn't do right, they'd send him on down the road. And then the church dies. And the influence is lost in the community. And pastors' lives are wrecked. And the church stays about 25 to 55 people. Maybe at the most 100. And then there's a community growing and growing and growing, and the church is declining. It's because something is not right. Leadership is not right. The way it should be is God should call a pastor to a church, and that pastor should serve those people. And he's not there to lord it over the people. He's not there to fleece the sheep. He's not there to be be primed and primped and petted on and ego built up. He should be there to be the most humblest servant of all. Amen. Every God-called pastor that I know of is just like that. And those deacons should come alongside him and say, Pastor, we are here to help serve the Lord with you. And the pastor and the board, they come together, and what can we do to build our church? And the pastor says, I really heard from the Lord. And the deacons can say, yes, we've heard from the Lord, and we hear from you as our leader, and we're behind you. And every now and then, the deacon board may say to the pastor, Pastor, we hear what you're saying, but it just doesn't kind of sit right with us. Maybe we should wait on it. And a good pastor would say, you know what? I'm not God, and I'm human. Maybe we should wait on it. Let's just all pray together. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's not a dictatorship. But neither is it either way. It's not a dictatorship from the board to the pastor or from the pastor to the board. It's leaders working together for the kingdom of God. And that's what happened with those first deacons. The apostles waited upon the Lord, preached the messages. And friend, let me tell you something. There's not any good pastor that I know. I know a pastor friend of mine now. He has a church of 1,000. And buddy, when they start cleaning up, he's rolled his sleeves up and pulled out a vacuum cleaner. His name is Bill Rose. He's a servant. And the more he serves, the bigger his church gets. I'm telling you, there's power in servanthood. And his church is full of people that serve as well. Man, they sacrifice time. They'll come out at midnight at judgment. They won't complain. They'll be happy to do it. Because why? They know the pastors are we're all serving the Lord. Amen. God help us to have a servant spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. But I will say this. Pastors should have that time to dig into the scriptures to feed you the word of God. And if the pastor is all the time cutting the grass and all the time taking out the trash, and the rest of you are just sitting in here and you just come to church waiting to hear a great word from the Lord, but yet while the pastor's studying, he's over there trying to fix this and do that and take care of the roof and take care of the foundation, take care of that. We got to have some leadership in the church. We got to have some leadership in the pulpit. And you don't have to be called to pick up trash. Find a need and fill it. Amen. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Alexander the Great was a great leader. He said he wept for more worlds to conquer. Winston Churchill was one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century. And we talk about Abraham Lincoln, that God put him in as the head of our nation at one of the most critical times. And George Washington, who could have been the dictator of the new America, but he said, no, I'm president. I will step down at the appointed time. Ronald Reagan, he was not a preacher, but if there was ever a leader in our generation, it was Ronald Reagan. And by the way, I like Reagan. I love Trump. I do love Trump. I do. I'm for him 100%. I know he's not a perfect Christian. He may be a Christian, but I'm not here to judge. But I think sometimes when President Trump gets in your face and calls people pathetic, I don't think that helps the cause. But Ronald Reagan had a way of looking at that other party and just smiling, and then they'd come right along and do it. So we need President Trump. Well, let's pray for him. We need him a little bit softer, wiser leadership may help us all. Can I get a witness out here? All righty. So I said that. See, some of you were upset about the other. So now I talked about Trump. Do you feel a lot better now? All right. John Maxwell. Just get any book he's written, and it'll challenge you, and it'll stir your heart. Any book. He's a God-called leader. I just mentioned Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a leader. Praise God for his leadership. To tell a country that's gotten billions upon billions and trillions of dollars while our factories are closing, and while they hoard up trillions of dollars to about 50 people, to 100 people in China while their people are starving, and then our people don't have health insurance, and we don't have and devalues the dollar. And Donald Trump says, no, we're going to go to a trade war. We're going to say that our country needs, if we have a weak America, we're going to have a weak gospel, spread of the gospel. And I know some of you are like, well, God can do the gospel without America, this, that, and the other. Well, go to the 1040 window and tell me how good it's working over there. No, God's got to have vessels to use. Amen. He's got to have a system to use. He's got to have people who are saying, yes, Lord. And so Donald Trump is a leader, and he is a financial leader, and he has wisdom. And there's a lady at Greenville First Pentecost Owners Church. Her name is Jean Gore. She serves with me on the archives board. And that woman is a leader. Buddy, she'll take the floor of the conference and point out a issue that needs to be brought up. She's not a preacher. Now, her and her husband were missionaries at one time, educational missionaries. She now teaches at East Carolina University. But I'm just here to tell you, in every church, in this church, listen, you may not be called to be a leader, but you are called to leadership. We all are. Let's rise up. Let's say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Help me, God, to lead others. Help me to lead to a better church. You know, there was a little sign at the Westmount Emmanuel Holiness Church where I went to as a teenager in my formative years. And Aunt Lola sit back over there, and Pastor Alan Byerly and his wife Gail would play the Hammond organ. That's where I learned to play the Hammond organ. Because I'd sit there and she would play and it would just rub off on me. And on the front of that church, there was an altar table, and it had a little sign up there that said, what kind of church would this be if all the members were just like me? I read that every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And folks, what kind of church would Westmoreland be if all the members were just like me? Let's rise to our leadership. Let's be praying members. Let's be witnessing members. When's the last time you invited somebody to church or shared your faith? What about your dress? What about your habits? What about all of that? Let's rise and become the leaders, because God's got an army marching through this land. Let's get in pace. Let's follow behind our pastor, our servant pastor, by the way, who also does a lot of things that you don't know. And he rolls his sleeves up and he leads by serving. And he does a lot of things. He does a lot of things that I couldn't do. And I tell you what, some of you 40-year-olds probably can't keep up with him. He's 74 years old. You try to keep up with him. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Praise God forevermore for leadership. Amen. I want to give you the 10 commandments of leadership. Commandment number one, be available. If you want to be a leader, just be available. Be available. Isaiah 6 and 8, here am I, Lord, send me. God's not looking for your ability, but for your availability. And by the way, let's talk about your availability. We have mostly older folks in our church, and many of you are retired, and I praise God for many of you that you've chosen not to have a pastor friend of mine. One of his key leaders is retiring, and they done told the pastor, don't count on us. Get somebody else to help with the youth. Get somebody else to help with the church, because we're going to hit the road, and we're going to travel, and we're going to got a place up at the mountains. We got a place down at the beach, and we got this, and we got that, and the other. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with things like that. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. Nothing wrong with having a place up in the mountains. Nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong when you quit serving God. Well, I can serve God on my camper and read a David Jeremiah devotional. Brother, you're not making an impact in people's lives like that. And do you really want to stand before God and take the wealth and the health that you do have? And God said, do you realize we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, we're going to be saved, but we're also going to give an account of our time. We're going to have to give a stewardship. So, number one, be available. Amen. Commandment number two is do things right. Say that with me. Do things right. It's not enough to do right things, but it's equally important to do things right. When we have sound system, the sound system needs to be equal. The voices need to blend. We need to be in harmony. The church needs to be clean. The church information should be kept up to date. We're working on updating our records. And I know some of you are like, well, I filled out that information sheet. I filled it out 3 years ago and nothing's changed. I don't need to fill out another one. Honey, do you know where your information sheet from 3 years ago is? Do you realize it's buried in a file somewhere? Do you realize how much of a leader you are in just doing it again and not giving me a hard time? Glory to God, just do it. Amen. You know what? My Aunt Lola taught me this. She said, son, just do what they ask you to do. That's exactly what she did. She told me that. That's the way she taught. She was a great leader. So do things right. If you teach a class, clean up, whatever, just dot the I's and cross the T's. Commandment number three is sweat the small stuff. Somebody say sweat the small stuff. Hebrews chapter 8 and 3 says, and the message says, God said, be careful to do it exactly as you saw it on the mountain. Detail is important. It's detail. God is in the details. And people, there are some people that, well, we just kind of fly by the hip and we'll just kind of show up when we show up. No. Sweat the small stuff. I'm concerned about little things. And I like the overhead to be right. I like the lights to be right. The temperature to be right. I have to say, Shemaine, come here, Shemaine. I want you to come up here because I want to give you honor tonight. This man, and I want to give you something for this too. Well, I got it. And it says, do it right. I've been aiming to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you some money.
All right. I'm going to give you an offer. Give you a love offer. There you go. I'm going to give you $10. That's for you. You know why? You know, the other day when it was raining so hard, and I mean it was raining cats and dogs, this fella got baptized all over again. He took that umbrella and he walked to every car that walked up. And he got soaking wet. His shoes got wet. Why don't you give Shemaine a big hand? God bless you, brother. Sweating the small stuff. Thank you. You can be seated. Amen. See, he didn't have to have an ordination. He was out there with me. I was going to do it. I was going to take the umbrella out there. And he beat me to it. I said, well, praise God. Listen, I mean that. I would have been soaking wet playing the piano. I'd been fine. I'd been all right. I would have had wet, slick hair like Elvis Presley, I guess, you know. But, I got to do what you got to do. Somebody say sweat the small stuff. God is in detail. Commandment number four is excel in excellence.
God won't put his name on anything that is not excellent. Psalms 8, excellence. Do it and do it well. Do it with all that's in your heart. Commandment number 5 is put on a smiley face. Come on, do it. I have to, you know, I'm a thinker. Not a deep thinker because I'm not that smart, but I am a thinker. And when I think like this. And sometimes I'm like, Ricky, the preacher's going to think you mad at him. And Pastor Jerry, he's up here just to pray. Nothing gets outside of his, and he's got an eagle's eye. Nothing gets out of his sight. He sees it. He sees it. And I'm when he looks over there at me, I'm like. And then he'll turn over here and look, and I'll start thinking again. I'm like, you better put that smile on. And he'll look back and I'm like. Well, I've been a preacher for 20 years, and I'm telling you, I had a man one time when I pastored at one church, I ain't gonna call the name. Every time I preach, he put his bald head down. I saw the shine off of his bald head. I said, brother, why do you put your head down every time I preach? Because I'm reading the Word of God. I said, brother, you can read the Word of God 5, 6, 7 days a week. You know, when you're in church, people are looking at you. They might even think you don't like me. Well, that's what it was. They didn't like me. Well, he succeeded in getting rid of me, and good for him. I love him. But don't put on a smiley face. You're advertising. You may have, listen, don't be that person that every time somebody asks how you're doing, they don't really want to hear all your troubles for the previous week. They really don't want to hear. Just say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't mean you shouldn't bear your burdens. And I don't mean, as a pastor, that you should ever hesitate telling me what you're going through. In fact, a struggle sometimes, Pastor Jerry and I will tell you, is sometimes people are going through things and you don't tell us, and we don't know and that. So I do want you to tell, particularly us as your pastors, you know, some of the things that's really bothering you, whatever. But at the same time, there's a sense in which there's some people who complain about everything and all the time, something this, something that, and just put on a smiley face. Come on, practice right now. Put on a smile. Smile, everybody. When you're up here in the praise team, smile. When you're on the instrument, smile. You know, God is a God of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Listen, when you're fasting, you feel miserable on the inside. But God said, look joyful on the outside. So put on a smiley face. Ushers, greeters, and when you're sitting in the chair, you don't have to have it's Jim Forehand, Jim Whitfield, the ministry of your presence. So put on a smiley face. Amen. We're halfway there, and I'm about done. Commandment number 1, be available. Say amen. Commandment number 2, do things right. Commandment number 3, sweat the small stuff. Commandment number 4, excel in excellence. Commandment number 5, put on a smiley face. Ooh. Commandment number 6, punctuality matters. God is a God of time. And when we're time conscious, we're God conscious. So try not to be late for practices. Try not to be late for church. Now, we all struggle with it. Numbers, I'm going to move off this because I feel a lot of conviction in the room right now. It's one thing to be late when you're doing about 15 other things. It's another thing to be late when you're just sitting at home watching TV. That's a big difference. So I give a lot of flexibility to people who have a lot of things going on. When I pastored, I would have board members that sometimes couldn't get there to 15 minutes late. But that's because they're out there working and flying to the church. Now, that's different. Can you say amen? Number 7, commandment number 7, be accountable to your leaders. In other words, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. There's a thing called obedience. We obey God. But I'm going to be honest with you. When Pastor Jerry, as the pastor, he is our pastor, but if he asks us to do something, we need to obey that. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you know, unless it's sin, if he asks us to sin, I'm going to disobey. I'm sorry, which I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. But I may think it ought to go this way. Well, Pastor Jerry may think it ought to go that way. Well, the pastor doesn't understand. The pastor doesn't this. The pastor doesn't that. Well, just keep talking and working. But really, the responsibility for the church is in the hands of the pastor. That's how God has set it up. So, and the pastor says we can do it, then we can. And don't try to undermine and manipulate and work around and get four or five people all stirred up and then say, Pastor, we're going to do that. No. You don't do that. That's not right. God works through divine order and be accountable and available to the leaders who are over you. Sister Sally is over the girls' ministries, then let Sister Sally be the leader. And if you're one of the girls' ministries leaders, don't try to run around Sister Sally and get things done. You do it through Sister Sally. Come on. Well, thank you, Pastor. Amen. I feel that. But, you know, I'm an associate pastor. Now, I was a pastor for 20 years, lead pastor, and now I'm an associate pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. I had... As a lead pastor, I know what it's like to have people just to run this way and run that way. I had to sit down with I had a lady one time, and every night the women's ministries had a meeting. She'd have a prayer meeting in her house. So I called the dear sister in. She was a great woman of God. I said, Sister, some of our ladies were just wondering why you and some other ladies weren't at the women's meeting. Oh, Pastor, we were having a prayer meeting. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, would you mind doing me a favor? Just continue to have a prayer meeting. I'm all for that. Just try not to have it on the same night as a women's meeting, because if you do, it's people, you know how people get their feelings hurt, and we don't want to. We want to work together. Oh, and she just looked at me. And someone like y'all looking at me right here. Sure enough, next month, they were all at her house in a prayer meeting, and all the ladies were having a women's ministers meeting. So I called her in. I said, Sister, y'all, what happened? She said, oh, Pastor, I'm telling you, that was the only night we could have the prayer meeting. That was the only night we could do it. So, and I told God, and it sounds spiritual, don't it? I told the Lord that I wouldn't call off that prayer meeting, and that's the only night I could do it. I said, Sister, I love you, but I want you to know, do not have any prayer meetings while our women's ministries are having their meeting. It's in the bulletin. It's announced. Our ladies want to be a part of that, and if you want to have a prayer meeting, you do it anytime, but please, I'm asking you, don't have it on that night if that's the last night you have. And if there's something between you and God, I'm sure he'll understand. He's a God of grace. Now, I said it probably a little bit harder than what I'm telling you now. You know, you got to be diplomatic when you say this stuff. I'll tell you what, Pastor, boom, she took her in that prayer meeting and went on and started another church. Is God pleased with that? Does he want churches to split? Or should we have a little humility? Or should we not? And who in that picture is going to be held accountable? I think we all are. I as a pastor. But I would never in 1,000 years, if that man told me to do something, I would never in 1,000 years. If I didn't do it, I would resign before I do it. I will not undermine another man's authority. Because you know what? There's a God in heaven. And he gives me the breath that I breathe in. And of all things, I may be called, anointed, gifted, talented, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I want to be obedient, and I want the Lord to be pleased with my spirit. Amen? Oh, give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. By the way, that sister and I are good friends to this day, and we talked not long ago. So, hey, it happened. Milk was spilt, but it's not worth losing brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. So please understand that even when bad, and you know, in church there's going to be problems and issues, please be forgiven and God will forgive you. Can you say amen? So commandment number 8, be responsible. Somebody said, be responsible. In other words, if you're doing something, you take the ownership to it. You do it. You be responsible. Your response, Brother T.L. Byrd, your responsibility is your response to your ability. And God has given you a responsibility to teach, minister, greet, whatever. Do the best you can and be a good leader for the Lord. Say amen. Commandment number 9 is remember that every action has an equal to opposite reaction. If you have a prayer meeting on the night of the women's ministries meeting, that's going to be an equal reaction. So understand we are a team. And you know about the rowboat? You can't have 6 people rowing this way and 1 person rowing back the other way. We got to all work together. Somebody say, let's all work together. Amen. And commandment number 10, stand with me tonight. Commandment number 10, serving others is serving God. Do you know when Shemaine, Brother Bud Tedder, before you go, he gave me this a couple of weeks ago, some of the best stuff on leadership I have ever read, and I've read a lot. And he gave me this, something he produced. And you, if you need to go ahead and go, you can go now. But I just wanted you to know that you gave me that. And I'm going to mention that here in just a minute. But serving God is serving others. When Shemaine was out there getting wet and bringing some of you into the church, he wasn't just serving you. He was serving the Lord. That's what leadership is all about. Principles of a supervisor. He gets the work done. How many of you want to get the work done? Would you lift your hands tonight as Pastor Jerry comes? Father, we thank you tonight for leaders. We thank you for the calling to leadership. We thank you for the commandments to leadership. Lord, let Westmoreland be a church of leaders. Let our pastor be a leader of leaders. He is already, Father, but Lord, we ask you to do it even greater, Lord. Lord, use us for your glory. Somebody just say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me, God. Huh? Oh, use me, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
A little bit of learning to lean.
Learning to lean.